that what you just said was heard by the God of the universe. What you just prayed, he treasures. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. And that's what we want it to become. Guys, we're in a series called Link. We're finishing up a series on prayer. Excuse me. And today, we're talking about the part of prayer that is most difficult for me. And that is seeing the answers. Because in my life, throughout my, you know, I was thoroughly brought up with an American mindset that coincidences happen, and any type of thing that can't be explained has some other occurrence. Like if someone is sick and someone prays for them and they get better, oh well, that was his immune system, that was the drugs. It wasn't prayer. If you're praying for a job opening and you get a job, you got it on your own merits and because of your great references, not because of prayer. And guys, that has been something I have had to overcome, to actually see answers to prayer and not just basically not just assume other causes. I heard, guys, in answers to prayer, God gives us four responses. When we pray, if the request is wrong, God says no. You know, that whole, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? You know, that the answer is no, okay? Second, if the timing is wrong, excuse me, if the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, if there's something wrong with you, God says grow. But if the request and the timing and you are right, God says go. So there are four answers: no, slow, grow, and go. And every one of us has received those answers to every prayer we have prayed. Okay, so one of the ways that we need to look at this whole prayer thing is how God answers prayers. Now, how many of us have ever applied for a job? Okay, a lot of us have. Okay, all right. What is one key part of a job application? References. And prior history. They do background checks on you. Why do they want references? Why do they want job history? Why do they want background checks? Because past performance is the best indicator of future action, isn't it? Isn't it? The past performance, what you've done in the past, is the best predictor of what you're going to do in the future. The same is true with God. All right. How God has answered prayers in the past is the best indicator of how he will answer prayers in the future. So I decided this week to just go through the Bible and look at as many different ways as I can that God has answered prayer, the types of prayers he answers. OK, now this is not an exhaustive list. I could be up here all day long. We've picked about four areas of how God answers prayer. The first category, if you guys want to flip over your outlines and write these down, this will be good because most of us need to know how God answers prayer. The first one, I just want to call it God's deliverance, okay? This type of prayer is when someone's in trouble, someone's struggling, someone's having issues, somebody is, I mean, they're going downhill fast. I mean, they're going downhill worse than UK football. I mean, it is bad, okay? I mean, I'm talking awful, okay? If you guys will turn to Acts 12, 1 through 11, there's an amazing story about the early church and the way that God delivered a man named Peter. Peter was the same guy that denied Jesus. He was a disciple of Jesus, and he was instrumental in getting the church together. Acts 12, 1 through 11 says this. It was about this time King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he had him put in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Okay, those of you guys that are math whiz, four squads of four soldiers each, how many guards? 16. Okay, good. We got some Asbury people here. That's good. Awesome. You know? Yeah, awesome. Okay, Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The church was earnestly praying to God for him. And look what happens next. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and your sandals." Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison. He had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was just seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Wow, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." And the story goes on, guys. Check this out. He goes to the church. He knocks on the door. Someone says, "Who is it?" He goes, "It's Peter." And the girl is so excited that she doesn't even open the door. You know, kind of like that person that is excited, but you're in the rain and you're knocking on the door and they're so excited they don't open the door. Well, anyway, the girl runs inside and says, "It's Peter. Peter's here." And the church says, "Nah, you're out of your mind. He must have been killed. That must be his ghost." Isn't it great that even back then the church didn't think God would answer prayers? I mean, if these were super Christians, they would say, "Well, of course it's Peter. We've been praying for him." But they were just as surprised that God answered prayer back then as we are today. See, the church back then was just as dumb as we are now, okay? And that gives me hope because, guys, if I was praying for someone to get out of prison and he showed up at my front door, I would be a little freaked out. I would. Because I'm just like the Christians back then. God didn't condemn them. God wasn't up in heaven saying, "Well, Peter, I'd like to get you out of prison. Well, that church, they just don't have enough faith, so I'm not going to do it." And that's not what happened. The church was very surprised at God's answer, just as we are. But guys, this is what is known as God's deliverance. When someone is in trouble, he helps. That's one way God answers prayer. Guys, back in my youth ministry days, this was in Hendersonville, Tennessee. I took kids to a thing called CIY, Christ in Youth. All right, and those of you that are not youth ministers, never having been in youth ministry, there's a truth that all youth ministers know that it's not in the Bible, but it should be, and is that there's a special spot in hell reserved for church buses. I didn't know if you knew that or not, but there is, and it is in the hottest part, right next to the furnace. Okay, the church buses are Satan's spawn. I hate them. And when God calls up that bus on Day of Judgment, I will be the first to testify, you know, the frustration, the aggravation, and everything that that bus caused me. Okay, it was terrible. I didn't come here to tell you that. Anyway, we were driving to Spartanburg, South Carolina, to the Christ in Youth Conference, and this was in July. Now, air conditioning gives out right as we pass the Tennessee border, so we've been cooking along for a couple hours, and all of a sudden, I heard this zzzz under the hood, and smoke started coming out under the hood. So I pull over and I pop open the hood, and the air conditioning compressor is not just smoking, it's on fire. There is a fire, you know, right there. And like an idiot, I try to blow it out. Okay, all it does is make it bigger. So I take my shirt off and I smother the fire, okay, destroying my shirt. All right. And so we're toast. The serpentine belt, because the compressor locked up, is shredded. Okay, it looks like spaghetti. And so we're stuck on the side of the road. This was the day before smartphones. I couldn't pull up the internet and find an auto parts store. And we're just stuck on the side of the road in South Carolina. It's hot, and there hasn't been air conditioning, and the kids are cranky. I'm cranking in a bad mood. All of a sudden, a car pulls up right behind us. This guy gets out, and this is 2002. He has a mullet. Okay, he has a mullet, and he's got a muscle shirt on, he's got a farmer's tan, he's got the goatee. I mean, he is a rough-looking guy, and he doesn't even say hi, he just starts walking towards me. And I'm like, "Kids, get in the van, the bus, I think we're going to throw down." And he walks up to me, he goes, "Need some help?" And I said, "Well, yeah, actually we do, our engine was on fire." And he goes, there's an Advance Auto Parts about a mile up the road. Get in the car, I'll take you. And he didn't even tell me his name. So I said, okay, well, we either sit here all day or I go get in the car with this guy. And fortunately, I had my 3/8 ratchet in my hand, metal ratchet, and I put that in my pocket and said, if this guy wants to throw down, I'll at least put up a fight, okay? So I give my last will and testament to my other, you know, my youth, and I get in the car with this guy, and we're driving. And he goes, where are you guys going? I said, we're going to Spartanburg, South Carolina to a youth event, man. It's going to be great. I said, where are you going? He goes, I'm heading home from prison. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what'd you do? He goes, I aided and abetted a felon. And I said, oh, this, you got to tell me the story, man. You know, at least if I kept him talking, he wouldn't kill me, you know? So he goes, well, you know, my brother-in-law robbed a bank, armed robbery, and he came over to my house, didn't tell me he'd done it, came over to my house, cops found him, my house arrested everybody. I got 2 years for harboring a felon. And he said, but something really cool happened. He goes, my wife was always into church. I never did. I was made fun of her. I never went to church with her or anything like that. He goes, I got put in prison. She prayed for me every day. She didn't leave me. I thought she would, but she didn't leave me because of her faith. And I got involved in prison fellowship, and I became a Christian. I got involved with the church there at the prison. And he goes, I just got out today, and I was thanking the Lord for my freedom. And I said, Lord, you know, show me what you want me to do today. And I saw you guys. And he pulled over. And so went and got serpentine belt. It gets better. We got a serpentine belt. And we went back there, and I said, well, we still got a problem. Serpentine belt, you know, even if we put a new one on, the compressor is still locked up. It'll just shred it if we start the engine. He goes, your compressor's locked up. And I said, yeah. He goes, my dad was an HVAC guy. I know everything there is to know about compressors. And so he gets in there and goes, yeah, the clutch is locked up. And he makes a few adjustments, unplugs something, goes, you're good to go. Now, you won't have air conditioning, but, you know, at least you'll be able to drive. And I thought to myself, that was an answer to prayer. A man named TJ, who was experiencing freedom, God used to basically help us out in response to prayer. Guys, God's deliverance is big. It happens all the time. People are delivered from drug addiction. People are delivered from running around with the wrong crowd. They're delivered from disbelief. They're delivered from all different types of things, okay? God's deliverance is real. It happened in the Bible. It happens now. So my question is, who do you know that needs God's deliverance? Who do you know needs God's deliverance? They're in a gang. They're hooked on drugs. They're in an adulterous relationship. They are, I don't know, that whatever it is in their lives that they need deliverance from, we need to be praying. Remember, the church was earnestly praying for Peter, and God acted, okay? You might want to even look at these people as being in prison, okay? Any drug addict is in prison. Let's pray that God will deliver them from that prison and watch, sit back and watch God work. God is huge in that. And some people say, well, it was just a coincidence that TJ was driving along. Just a coincidence. Well, guys, listen up. Coincidences happen a lot more often when you pray. I just want to tell you that. The second way God answers prayers from delivering us from the evil one. The second way is supernatural actions. Supernatural actions, okay? In the Bible, God is constantly answering prayer supernaturally. The first way is that over nature. James 5:17 said this, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years, okay? He had an answer to prayer over nature. Now, the reason that Elijah did this was the nation of Israel was falling down and worshiping a false god named Baal. Baal was a god of fertility and the weather. And they were basically praying that to Baal to give them good rain for their crops. So Elijah said, God, show them who you are. And basically destroyed the image of Baal. It would be like kind of like us praying for the United States to be in a recession, to break the idol worship of materialism, comfort, and indulgence that is so pervasive in our culture. Guys, that is exactly what is going on. Now, guys, I don't have any testimony or any examples of God's supernatural action over nature. I don't. Maybe you do, but I just know that it's in the Bible. And that was one way that God brought the nation of Israel to repentance. The second way is over illness. First one is over nature. Second one, over illness. In Acts 28, 7 through 9, Paul is on an island. And there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. Now, guys, back when I was in seminary, I was part of a hospital visitation team at Southland Christian Church. We went to hospitals and visited. I was in the hospitals all the time. And I got to talk with several of the nurses. And nurses said, oh, yeah, absolutely. Anybody from Wilmore stays about half the amount of time in the hospital than everybody else. And I said, well, why do you think that is? I said, well, usually if they're from Wilmore, they have a church praying for them. And I mean, it's well documented. Every nurse, we call it the Wilmore phenomenon here at Central Baptist, that the people from Wilmore, if we see Wilmore, they're going to be here about half the time than everybody else because they have people praying for them. All right? God answers prayer over illness. One of my favorite preachers, a guy named Tony Campolo, was preaching at a college. And he was preaching on the power of God. And he gave an altar call, say, if you need to come forward and you need to accept Christ or you need healing, whatever, come forward. And he noticed that this mom and her little kid came forward. And they're walking very, very, very slow, very slow. And they made their way up to the front. And Tony Campolo realized why she was walking so slow. The kid had one leg. One leg was about half as long as the other. And she said, I want you to heal my boy. Tony Campolo said, I'm not ready for this. I don't know what to do. He was speechless. Fortunately, the college chaplain was there and he came over and he said, don't worry, I'll handle this. And he got the microphone. And he said, there's a boy up here that has requested healing. Everybody who doesn't believe God is a God of healing, leave. Because God doesn't work through unbelief. And he said the place cleared out. He said it was the chaplain and him, the mom, the kid, and about five Pentecostal kids. All right? And after the place cleared out, the chaplain said, all right, now everybody here believes in the power of prayer, believes in the God of healing. Let's start praying. Tony Campolo said, you know, the Pentecostal kids had already started their thing. You know, they'd already started their thing going on, and they were laying hands on. And Tony Campolo just said, I don't know what to pray. So, Lord, heal this boy. And nothing happened. Nothing. So he was very discouraged because he said, here I preached on the power of God and nothing had happened. Well, he was back at that same college the next year. And he was preaching, and he noticed at the altar call, the lady and her son came down. And he was like, oh, no, great, we're going to go through this again. You know, she's going to ask for healing for her son, and nothing's going to happen. Thing is, he walked down, and she said, Mr. Campolo, I just want to let you know, the night that you laid hands and prayed for my son, we got home, he started crying, started screaming and crying, saying that his leg hurt. And we didn't know what to do. Next day, his leg had grown about an inch. And the next day, after about 2 months, his leg was totally healed. And the only way I can think of is that God healed my boy. And I want to thank you for that. Now, I know that that doesn't happen very often. We like to make fun of people that exercise healing over illness. Guys, I'm saying it's in the Bible. And the best prediction of future action is past action. And if God has healed illnesses in the past, he will heal illnesses in the future. Amen? Amen. How many of us do believe in the power of God? I do. I do. Amen. The third way that that God answers prayer with supernatural actions is over the demonic activity. Do I believe in demons? Yes, I do. Have I ever seen one? No. At least I don't think I have. Have there been instances where there has been demonic activity and I haven't noticed it because I'm not spiritually sensitive? Maybe. I don't know. But I do know that they are named in the Bible and therefore they're real. Okay? And I also believe that that there are different types of warfare. Like in World War II, there's the D-Day type war where, you know, you have this massive assault and armies are just having at each other right and left. Okay, there's that type of warfare. But there's also guerrilla warfare where people stay in the shadows. They snipe. They hit and run. They convince the enemy that they're not there. And I believe in Western cultures, in America, Western cultures, Satan elects for the second type of warfare, the snipe, the hit and run, the you know, keeping himself in the shadows. The reason that he does this is that if he was to actually show himself in an American culture where we don't believe really in the supernatural, we don't believe in the spiritual, all of a sudden that would awaken us to a whole nother world, and we would be awakened to the existence of God as well. That's why Satan keeps himself hidden, because he prefers the cultural norm of materialism that goes on so much here. But guys, in the Bible, in the book of Mark, Jesus and his inner circle are up on a mountain. They come down from the mountain, and there's a crowd there, and his disciples are trying to heal a boy who's possessed with a demon. And they're trying to cast it out, and they can't do it. Well, Jesus comes in, and he casts out the demon. And the disciples said, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus says, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. Okay? And guys, in this culture, demonic activity looks a lot more like the subtle temptation, the sniping, the trying to separate husband and wife, the sowing of dissension in a church, moving on people that have a tendency to gossip and to pick and to be negative and trying to divide the church. That is demonic activity that we need to be aware of. And guys, if this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting, the church, I would say, is getting its rear end kicked because we don't pray and we don't fast much about demonic activity, okay? So that is a way that God answers prayer. And guys, if we want to stay unified, if we want to cease any type of temptation, any type of demonic activity, we need to be praying and fasting, all right? The third type of answer that God gives us is through simply his wisdom and leading, okay? First, he delivers us when we are in trouble. Second, he provides supernatural power over illness, over nature, over demonic activity. The third way is through God's wisdom and leading, okay? In the book of Acts 13, the church is together and they're worshiping, and says this, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, there's that fasting thing again, which isn't very popular in America. They're fasting. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So after they'd fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them, sent them off. Okay, guys, listen up. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor I get people coming up to me and say, I just want to know God's will for my life. Should I take this job? Should I marry this person? Should I date this person? Should I move to this city? Should I do this? I just need to know what God wants me to do. And I imagine most of us at some point have asked that question. Well, it's interesting that God didn't approach them in response to prayer. He approached them in response to worship. It says right here, they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. I don't know what you guys think happens up here when JK and the band are leading us in worship. Maybe some of you think maybe we're just singing songs. Maybe we're focusing on the drums or on the guitar or the music. Maybe some of us are worshiping. But did you ever expect God to give you His will for you during worship? That happened to me when I was sitting in church one Sunday morning as a sophomore in college, and when we were singing a hymn, I don't even know what the hymn was. God said, "I want you to be a minister." God gave me direct, not, I wasn't praying for it, I wasn't asking for it, but in worship, God approached me and gave me His will, and He will do the same thing for you. Maybe one of the things we need to do to seek God's wisdom and leading is intensify our worship, because guys, you won't follow a God you don't worship. If you don't worship, He won't tell you what He wants you to do, because you won't follow Him. When you worship God, you acknowledge how great He is, how sovereign He is, how awesome His will is, and therefore He says, okay, there's a person that's going to follow me. I will show them where to go. Something to think about. But how many of us, in wanting God's direction, are willing to do our part to worship the Lord and fast? If we want the answer to prayer, we need to do our part. The fourth way that God answers prayer, and this is my favorite, simply God's blessing. God's blessing. First Chronicles 4:10, there's a man named Jabez. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. Keep me from harm so I'll be free from pain." And God granted his request. There's a book called The Prayer of Jabez. Came out several years ago. All right, talking about this very thing. You guys, if John Wesley is true and God does nothing except in response to prayer, maybe we need to be praying. One of the things that I have been doing recently is I've been reminding God of his promises. In Malachi 3, it says that, you know, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. See, and test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and bless you so much that you won't have room for it. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. So I said, you know what, God, you've promised to do this. Make it happen. I've also prayed. When Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. I said, Lord, every Sunday morning, when we lift you up, draw everyone to you. You said you would do it. Make it happen. Bless this church. Bless us by drawing us to yourself. Beginning to remind God of his promises. The promises of blessing is a good exercise in prayer because he's already promised. Tell him to make it happen. One of my heroes is a guy named George Mueller. George Mueller was a German guy back in the early 1900s. He was arrested for theft. And while he was in prison, he was converted. And he came out. As he walked out of the prison, he noticed all the street boys everywhere running amok. And they didn't have parents. And he said, I'm going to start an orphanage. It's what God wants me to do. So he started an orphanage. He had no funding, had no backing. He didn't even have a place for him. And he said, over the entire course of his life, never once did he ask for money. Never once did he ask for donations. He believed that God would provide. He hit his knees in prayer. Over the course of his life, he started 2 Bible colleges. He started several orphanages. He planted several churches. And his income one year was over $1 million. He never once asked for a donation. He believed that God would provide. But in the early years, one well-documented episode, there was no food. There were 26 boys in the orphanage, and there was no food. And no food in the pantry. And it was lunchtime. He called all the boys down, had them sit down. He placed bowls and plates out in front of them and glasses out in front of them. And the boys said, where's lunch? And George said, we don't have it yet. Let's pray. And he began to pray. The second he said amen, there was a knock on the door. And he opened the door and there was a local baker. He said, you know, Mr. Mueller, at 2 o'clock this morning, God woke me up and said, you might need this. And he had about 50 loaves of bread. Here you go. And as soon as he closed the door, he heard a huge crash outside. And he opened up the door and the milk wagon, a wheel had fallen off of the milk wagon right out in front of the orphanage. And the dairy man came up to, he said, Mr. Mueller, I need to put this wheel back on my wagon, but the milk is too heavy. I can't lift it up. I need you to help me unload this milk. By the way, do you need some? And he went, the boys came out and they unloaded all of the milk off and they had bread and milk for the day. That's the way the Lord provided. The Lord blessed him as in response to prayer. Someone says coincidence. Well, coincidence happens a lot more when we pray. So what is the takeaway from this series? The first week we talked about the prayerless Christian. Second week, Rodney talked to us about the role of the Holy Spirit in prayer. Last week we looked at different types of prayer and the things that we have to have in prayer. And today we looked at how God answers prayer. Now guys, there are a lot of us out here that know a lot about prayer. A lot of us out here that know we need to be praying. There are a lot of people out here that know that God answers prayer. There just aren't a lot of people praying. There just aren't a lot of people praying. It's kind of like a town that has a shoe factory. Visitor comes in and says, you guys got a shoe factory? Yeah, we got a shoe factory. This town knows everything there is to know about shoes. We know how to make them. We know how to design them. Even once a week we go and we talk about how good shoes are. The visitor says, well, why is everyone barefoot? It's a good question. He walks around. Everyone's barefoot. He says, well, don't you know about shoes? Oh, I know about shoes. They're great. They're fantastic. I can list you everything there is to know about shoes. They're leather. They're pumps. They're patent leathers. They're everything. They're black. They're brown. They're white. Everything. Why aren't you wearing shoes? You know, it's a good question. Are we going to be that way, guys? Knowing a lot about prayer. knowing the reasons for prayer, knowing the results of prayer, but simply not praying? Coincidences happen a lot more when we pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for prayer. I want to thank you for being able to approach you. I want to thank you for the way in the past you have answered these prayers. And Lord, what an example they are.